We're back with Brews and View. Cole and Jake here talking about Spidey December.
Yeah, Spidey December.
Spidey December. And we're talking about, you guys hated Spider-Man 3? Wait till you see The Amazing Spider-Man 2. This movie was trash. The only great thing I can say, Hans Zimmer's soundtrack and Electro going after Spider-Man in that whole set piece in downtown New York Times.
I will one-up that. I will say the single best part of this movie is that whoever wrote this movie had the balls to kill off Gwen Stacy.
But that was supposed to happen. That's what pisses me off, because the scene where Gwen died, spoilers, Gwen's dead.
She's dead. Dead as a doornail.
Yeah. But we didn't even know what killed her. Like,
she smacked her head. Yeah. Did you hear that thud?
I thought it was just like, you know, boom.
No. And so, like, for everything wrong with this movie, which we will quickly get into.
Very quickly. Because it's very easy to
talk about. Gwen falling down, and, like, you've seen that so many times, that, like, heroes on the edge of the cliff, or they're doing this, or they're falling that, and, of course, he's Spider-Man. He can get there. And, like, to me, I was like, oh, I'm sure she's going to be fine. You hear that thud, and you're like, oh, crap.
Well,
that doesn't sound good, but I'm still not convinced she's going to be dead.
Well, I knew Gwen was dead as soon as that happened.
And then, like, he goes down, and she doesn't wake up. I'm like, are they really doing this? It's kind of like Star Wars, spoiler.
Start right at the end.
Star Wars, spoiler alert, when Rey died.
You said Star Wars, like there's not a ton of movies.
Episode 9, when Rey dies at the end, and you're like, I bet she's really not going to be dead, and then she's really not dead. And you're like, haha, I knew it. It's like everything. Or like when you constantly do this, we've talked about this before, but Arrow, the TV show, is terrible about never letting people die, always bringing people back. Marvel in general is very hesitant to actually let people die, and they're always, you know, saving them at the last minute, bringing them
like,
back.
Like, for example, if, like, there was an Iron, if there's going to be another Iron Man film, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
Like, or let the man die.
Even Loki, where it's like, oh, Loki dies. Well, now Loki gets a TV show in a different alternate
reality.
Yeah,
he's a variant now.
Where I'm like, they have such trouble, like, actually having characters die, where I'm like, especially when that was such, again, that was everything that held the first two movies together, was Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker, their interactions, their chemistry, like, really, they're the only thing that made The Amazing Spider-Man really work as well as it did. Yes. Otherwise, it would have been way worse.
Their chemistry was fantastic.
So, to have the cojones to let her die, and I was like, you know what? With everything else with this movie, mad props to you for letting her die. Yes, this movie sucked balls otherwise, but...
And that's what pisses me off the most, because, I knew Gwen was... So, Gwen Stacy dies in the comics, and I did know that because after I watched the original trilogy, I actually got into more Spider-Man lore, and I'm like, okay, so Gwen Stacy died in the comics. Like, same thing, like, tried to save her.
Was she supposed to be before or after Mary Jane?
She was supposed to be before.
Okay.
And Green Goblin and ends up inadvertently killing her, apparently.
Okay.
You comment me and tell me, like, I don't know my comic history, and you'd be right. But this is what I know. But here's the thing that pissed me off the most. Is like, oh, they do an awesome death scene, but this rest of this movie is just hot trash. Like, hey, we're going to have Sinister Stick. Hey, by the way, we have Black Cat over here. Hey, by the way, we got this stuff going on. Like, and then, by the way, Harry Osborn, did you like him in the first film? Or the first original trilogy? We're just going to throw him in the second one. We didn't bring him up in the first one. There is so much hot mess in this film. It is terrible.
Yeah, I thought the Andrew Garfield and whatever the actor's name is that played Harry Osborn, their friendship was rather awful.
It's terrible.
Like, they didn't sell you at all that they were ever friends.
If you're going to bring Harry Osborn and Norman Osborn into the picture, why do it in the second film? Why did you not set that up in the first film?
You could do it in the second film. To me, it wasn't...
If you would have set it up before, but like,
even if you didn't set it up in the first one, you could make, like, you could, that could have just been the first one that, like, he had this whole thing set up with Harry. So I'm saying, it's not like, oh, you need two movies to set up a friend that then, you know, works against you, becomes this weird-looking Green Goblin thing. That was just again, not even a scary villain, just more like a
no. But I love like his little cut and stuff. And he's like, when they first meet, he's like, "Hey, Harry, heard about your dad?" He's like, "Yeah, you suck." He's like, "You suck too." He's like, "Oh, we're best friends." That whole scene was just like, dude, this is bad. This is like Spider-Man 3, like emo Peter bad.
Like cringy. Harry Osborn, to me, was maybe the singular worst part of this movie.
It's not his fault, though. I think the actor...
Like, I don't did you mind ever see the actor. Chronicle? Yeah, I do not mind the actor. I'm saying...
It's not his fault.
Especially when that was one of the strengths of the original trilogy, was
Peter Parker, Harry Osborn.
It's like, okay, so you're throwing him in the second movie, which, again, I believe could have been done.
Mm-hmm.
They did a terrible job where it's like, okay, yep, they're friends. Here they are talking. Now, like... We're not even, like, talking at all about their friendship, and all of a sudden, like, now he's bad. It's like, you don't have any, like, betrayal feeling. You don't have any connection to this guy. He's weird, and, like, you don't even understand how they would get along.
Like, it's like, when they met, it was, like, one of those weird things where, like, hey, we were best friends in third grade, and then you gave me a look. I went behind the couch with you. they tried to do this emotional thing, and I'm like, nope, not buying it.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. And they're like, and they give each other hugs, like, oh yeah, it's great. It's like, no, the audience is not buying your bullshit right now.
Well, and the whole last fight scene with him too.
There was no emotional connection.
And when you have a villain, the villain either needs to be somebody close and personal, or somebody that's
has a reason for what they're doing, like a reason for why they're
say bad. Again, even though that Carnage. We talked about that movie a lot because it's in this whole
previous podcast
for that. But like Carnage coming in, like Woody Harrelson as this like serial killer. You're like, okay, I'm excited to see him meet up with Peter Parker. Or hey, you know, Doc Ock was his friend, so like this is interesting now that like they got along so well. You know, they had their cool little meal, whatever, and he was teaching them stuff. And now they're set up against each other. Like they like each other. This is like. I don't think they like each other. This guy's not intimidating. He's kind of weird looking and not in a scary way.
Yeah, he's got a little comb over and a nice skinny tie. He's like, I have the goblin disease or whatever the hell. Like Norman Osborn like, dies in bed. He's like, you're going to get this too and you're going to die too. And then he's like, well, I'm going to die immediately tomorrow. So I'm going to go talk to Spider-Man. Like, there's so much stupid shit in this movie. And let's talk about Jamie Foxx as Electro. Because I want to talk about Jamie Foxx about Electro.
Yeah.
Great cast.
Yep.
Terrible execution.
As far as...
Like, I love the immediate thing. Like, hey, you're my eyes and ears. Like, the immediate first thing. But then, again, this is what the series does. Like, fast-forwarding through, like, the character development. And then it's like, oh, now he's bad.
To me, this is, like...
He got bit by electric eels. You think he's going to do this in No Way Home?
Jamie Foxx is the epitome of the problem I have with Spider-Man villains. As far as, nice guy, something bad happens, and then they're randomly bad. And so, to me, this doesn't bother me more than any of his other villains.
Yeah, because Doc Ock had no reason to be bad. But
yeah, I'm saying Doc Ock was...
Green Goblin did have a reason, too.
I'm saying that's like...
Sandman did, too.
Okay. I'm saying... My point is that, like, he's kind of on par where it didn't bother me, but I didn't love it. He was a villain that... I like the little Itsy Bitsy Spider song that he played.
When he goes techno.
But
I forgot about that.
But other than that, he wasn't a great villain. He wasn't a terrible villain. But when you're talking about that like intimidation or like the clash where you're like, oh wow, I wonder how Spider-Man will deal with Electro, like none of that was going on either. So he was a much better villain than Harry Osborn. Much, much better. But nothing to write home about.
But again, like, you think Sony would have figured out after Spider-Man 3, like, oh, they thought that was too mashed up with Venom, Sandman, and other Goblin. But then they're like, hey, let's just do that again. but have none of the emotional connection to any of the
characters. Oh, and guess what? Sinister Six.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, by the way, here's Black Cat, here's Sinister Stick, and by the way, oh, we got all these things and all these pieces, and like, by the way, Harry Osborn is now the actual Green Goblin. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, you literally like, oh, everyone's gonna love this, they're fans. No. This is literally the worst Spider-Man film ever made. Like, it's not even close.
You're probably right.
I know I'm right. This movie, like, again, I've seen every Spider-Man film at least 2 times or more. Mostly more. But this is a movie where I rewatch, I'm like, God, that Gwen Stacy death scene was great. But everything else, like the Rhino, we haven't even talked about the Rhino. The Rhino wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Like they try to have, like, emotional connection at the end of the movie where it's like, oh, like, when that kid's like, I'm going to be Spider-Man. Also, why are everyone in New York just watching these battles go down and not running away?
That's a common thing, actually, with real people.
Yeah, but this is Spider-Man. He's not real, Cole.
Yes, but I'm saying...
But no, but, like, they literally have actually, barriers.
Actually, studies have shown that people, as long as there's enough people around, they're not likely to jump in and help because they feel like responsibility is dispersed among all the people. And they are more likely just to stand
there and watch. I'm going to trump you right now.
Depending on, like, even if there's something terrible going on, okay, they'll just stand there and watch.
In these movies, there are barriers already set up.
Yep.
So who the hell set up the barriers? They're like, hey, stay here. Watch. You're going to see some crazy awesome shit.
Yeah, the policemen.
When the Rhino at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there is a deleted scene. I don't even know this call. But Richard Parker came back to life and visited Peter Parker while he was grieving Gwen.
Oh, really? How'd that go?
It was well acted. They're like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I forgot. There's a whole subplot where he's like, oh, by the way, like, here's my secret subway lab, and keep doing your thing.
Nice.
No, did you watch this movie?
I didn't watch the deleted scenes.
Yeah, they're not good. Like, deleted scenes, I'm like, I'm glad you cut this, but this movie still sucks.
Yeah.
Like, Richard Parker came back to life. That was supposed to be, the next movie. Like, oh, Peter Parker and Richard Parker back together again, father and son.
Yeah,
that's how much of a mess. They had no idea what they were doing with this film.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it makes sense that he had to have somebody help him to take on the freaking army of the Sinisters. Sinister Sixes plus everybody else that they were trying to throw in there.
But you also got to remember that, like, in the beginning of this film, Richard Parker and who's Peter's name? Mom's name?
Martha. They were...
It's not Martha.
What was that name?
Well played. But no, remember when the plane was going down? Like, this is how this movie... Like, they had no idea what they were doing. Like, oh, we're going to make so much MCU money. Like, they did not give a shit.
Yeah. I guess, again, when I was done with this movie, I was just very pumped that Gwen Stacy was dead in a weird way because I really liked her as a character.
That's a weird thing.
I know.
I was super jacked that Gwen died.
I was like, hey, something finally means something.
And that scene, the whole scene, like when he shoots his web out and you see like almost a hand trying to grab her at the last second, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But you fucked up everything else.
So like if you could just transport that.
Well, they might in No Way Home.
And maybe like put that around, yeah, with a good movie around it. Like this movie could have been awesome.
This could have been one of the best superhero films of all time.
Yeah, this movie it's messy. There's not a lot of redeemable qualities other than, again, Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy, you know, and they can't be together. And they're like, they just have like such great chemistry.
The funny thing about that is like, when you're like, Gwen's going to die. I'm like, what? As soon as Gwen's like, I'm going to London. And Peter Parker's like, I'm going to London too. I'm like, oh, she's dead.
Oh. Like, as soon as she does her high school speech where it's like, okay, well, this sounds like a eulogy.
Yeah, like you are 100% dead.
Yep.
And then Peter Parker, we didn't talk about creepy Peter Parker, is falling around on buildings staring at her.
It's not weird.
Yeah, of course.
I do that all the time.
What? If you could get on top of buildings, you would. But I will say this. Between the original trilogy versus Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, the chemistry between Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy is dynamite. Like, Peter Parker and Kirsten Dunst are like, oh no, I hunch. Like, shit like that. It's like, I don't buy you guys as a couple at all.
Yeah.
But that they did this right, but they messed everything else up along the way. Like, this is literally a 5 for me. Like, don't rewatch it. You don't need to. It is a mess of a movie. And you thought Spider-Man 3 was a mess.
I'm very conflicted on this movie.
Okay, yeah. Can you agree with me that Spider-Man 3 is way less of a mess than this? Because Spider-Man 3 was trying to set up a cinematic universe.
Like, yeah.
It was, like, even though it was kind of a mess, it still was, like, trying to keep it in the pocket. It hurts
me because I've been bashing on Spider-Man 3 for a long time, but...
Just be honest.
Yes.
This is a safe space, Cole.
That would generally be correct.
Yeah. Like, Spider-Man 3, like, everyone's like, oh, it's a mess. They put too much stuff. I'm like, it was way more, like, in the pocket compared to this movie. This movie's like, hey, by the way, here's Ravencroft. Hey, by the way, here's Electro. Here, by the way, here's this person. Hey, by the way, here's Black Cat. Hey, by the way, I have stuff for all this Sinister Six. Like, they did not give a shit.
Yeah, I probably can't give this higher than a 5.5.
You just did a 5.5 just to hurt me. This is the worst. This literally is, like, all the Spider-Man films that have ever been created. This is the worst. The worst.
I mean, yeah. It is.
But still better than Batman and Robin.
Out of the 8 that we're talking about, right?
7.
Well,
if you're tying into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, well, I don't think we're including that, but that's a whole nother one.
It's by December.
Yeah, I mean, I did really enjoy that movie, which...
I mean, that is maybe one of definitely one of the greatest Spider-Man films. But if you haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse, watch it now. Stop being dumb.
Yeah, but this movie, I don't even know if there was a good movie in here somewhere.
I don't think there was. It's such a mess of a movie. Like I have thought
you
of
didn't
how...
didn't have any ingredients, like... You kept your cool, strong core of Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy, and you had no idea what to do with any other character or anything that related to them. And you put this movie out there, and if you cancel out all the villains and everything else that have besides Gwen and Peter, actually, this is a pretty good movie.
Well, then it's just a rom-com.
Yeah.
They're like, hey,
it's just a rom-com where she dies.
Like, Mark Webb's just like, okay, I got these characters, right? Wait, shit, we gotta do Spider-Man stuff? Like,
yeah.
What am I gonna do? Yeah, this is literally a hot mess of a movie, and I would not recommend... This is the only one I would say, like, do not rewatch it. Like, it's gonna hurt you way more.
Well, and I do feel like... I didn't like it in Spider-Man 3 very much, and I really didn't like it here, but I don't like double villains, especially when it seems like they are...
Forced into the story?
Well, they're forced into the story, but they're, like, kind of forced to, like, work with each other. Where it's like, I don't feel like...
What do you mean by work with each other? I guess I'm a little...
Well...
You think about Spider-Man 3 when Venom and Sandman team up for absolutely no reason whatsoever?
Yeah, and there was... Wasn't there a little teaming up in this one, too?
Well, there's... Yeah, Electro and Harry Osborn, who became Goblin.
Where I'm saying, like, I don't... In real life, villains aren't just like, oh, hey, you're another villain. We both hate Peter Parker. Like, let's just go kill... It's like... I feel like it's a lot more complicated than that. Just like the generic, cheesy team-up of, like... Oh, these two villains are coming after Peter Parker. I'm like, really doesn't do it for me. Just not a fan of random
team up for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, like they have no common interests.
Yeah, we're like, hey, you hate Spider-Man? I hate Spider-Man too. Let's join the club.
Yeah, start with Jordan Jameson. Why don't you join his club?
Did you forget how Harry... Do you remember how Harry Osborn and Electro... Like, so Harry Osborn's like, told Peter Parker, he's like, I need Spider-Man. I need his blood. And so he comes back as Spider-Man. And Harry's just drinking 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. Who knows? But then he's like, you're a fraud, Spider-Man. I forgot. I laughed out loud in the theater. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, A, I don't care about the Peter Parker, Harry Osborn dynamic in this film. I don't. And then you're like, oh, so Peter is like, oh, I'm going to come as Spider-Man, and maybe he won't. Like, he should have figured out right away that Peter Parker was Spider-Man when he's like, oh, I need to see I need to see Spider-Man. And he's like, oh, it's me, but it's not me. It's like, actually, no, rewatch this movie. There's a lot of funny moments.
That weren't intentionally funny.
Yeah. You're a fraud, Spider-Man! And, like, Harry Osborn couldn't figure out who Peter Parker was. He was dancing on the fences, like, he's doing flips and shit. And, like, Harry Osborn was like, oh, I have no idea who this guy is. I'm like, obviously he's Spider-Man, you idiot.
Yeah. But, yeah. I think 5.5 pretty much sums it up.
It's a five.
As far as...
It's lucky to get that for me.
Yeah. And maybe I'm looking back at rose-colored glasses. I don't know if I've seen this movie twice, honestly.
You'd probably rate it lower. The only reason why it gets a 5 for me, besides the fact that Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy are fantastic together, I give it a 5 because Hans Zimmer's score, the Electro score, like... Dun, 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 dun.
You mean the Itsy Bitsy Spider?
Well, that too. But the score in this movie was way better than the first film. And, like, I still listen to some of those themes when I'm working out. Like, it's good.
Yeah, he's trying to shoot webs on the treadmill.
It doesn't work well. You just fall over and hit your face. But since we're on Spidey-cember, I'm really proud about that. I don't know if you know. Spidey-cember.
Spidey-cember.
Say it feels good when you say it out of time. But let's, before we get from No Way Home, let's rank Homecoming and Far From Home really quick.
I'll rank them all, actually.
We already... What are you talking about?
I'll rank all the Spider-Man movies.
From start to finish?
From start to finish.
So the first one, how do you rank?
First one? Surprise?
First one?
Spider-Man Homecoming. I think it's probably my favorite Spider-Man movie of them all.
Whoa!
Yep.
That's a boy. I didn't see that coming.
As far as...
you told me that before. I should have known that.
Yeah, you probably should have known
that. I'm trying to pretend like I'm the audience. I'm like, gasp!
I like the villain. I like the origin story.
All
the
Vulture, Michael Keaton. Don't even get me started.
How they brought that into the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. The Tony Stark dynamic. Not that there couldn't have been, you know, improvements in the movie, but I thought overall, like, I was very satisfied with the movie. It set up Spider-Man where I was excited again about Spider-Man, which it had been a little while, especially, again, ever since the second movie of Spider-Man was the last time I really had any, like, oh, yeah, they're really going somewhere with this. Where I'm like, okay, like... To me, Homecoming
was
definitely number one. So,
Homecoming gets an 8.5 for me.
So, I'm going to go Homecoming, and then I'm going to go Spider-Man 1, okay. And then...
You just love the origin movies.
That's true.
I'm
very consistent. There,
like,
is...
You are very consistent. Like Batman Begins. Like, I like Batman Begins better than Dark Knight. It's like any single, when you do an origin
story. A well-done origin story, to me,
sequels have no hope with you. Sequels have zero hope with you.
Well, and like I said before, so a bunch of different times in the last couple podcasts, the fact that if you have a really well-done sequel, most times it's because you had a great origin story.
That's true.
You have a great sequel, that makes me like the origin story even better. So it's a two-way street where it's like, I like the origin story, and it makes me like the sequel, but I like the sequel so much it makes me like the origin story more because you could make this.
I can't argue with that, but you're still wrong.
Okay, but anyway, so Homecoming, Spider-Man 1. I'm going to go...
If you don't put Spider-Man 2 and 3, I'm going to punch you.
Oh, 3 is not here yet.
No, 2.
Probably going to go Spider-Man... it's close, but probably Spider-Man 2 and then Far From Home. And then I would go...
Just know your ranking system has offended me. I just want you to know that.
And then I would probably slip in Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, Amazing Spider-Man 2 has got to be the lowest, right?
Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Whew, that's not how I would rank that at all. In fact, that was terrible. So I would do Spider-Man 2.
Of course. Yep. Your favorite movie of all time.
Literally still, even with the MCU and everything else, that's still a top three superhero film for me. Spider-Man 1. Right after Spider-Man 2. Then we gotta go Homecoming. Homecoming deserves to be in there.
Then I thought you liked Far From Home more than Homecoming.
I said I like what they did with it. Do we have to do a whole nother podcast? Is Spidey-Sember not dead yet?
Dude, so you're agreeing that the origin story is better.
With Homecoming, but it wasn't really an origin story when you think about it. Because they already introduced it in Civil War.
Yeah, but this was better.
Like, they're like, is Uncle Ben dead? Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Homecoming, then Far From Home, then Spider-Man 3, then The Amazing Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. That's how I rank them.
Fair enough.
And The Amazing Spider-Man is not a terrible film, but just, like, there's no rewatchability for that for me. Like, there's not enough good. But where does Into the Spider-Verse fit into all that, though? That'd probably go right after Spider-Man 2 for me.
Oh, so that'd be your second favorite?
It'd be my second favorite, yeah. That movie was way better than it ever had a right to be. That movie's amazing.
Yeah, I would probably put that under Homecoming. Yeah, I'll probably say that was right around like 2 or 3 for me.
Yeah, it's got to be top three regardless. If you haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse, see that damn movie. Holy crap. That movie wowed me on so many factors. I'm like, how did you do this?
Like, well, and that's why I'm really, like, they did a very good job of, you know, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man was what that Spider-Man was based off of. You know, the different things where, like, it brought you back, like, into the different Spider-Mans that you had seen. Where, I'm like, when Spider-Man, the newest one, what is it?
No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Which we haven't seen yet.
Which we have not seen
yet. But it's still Spidey-Sember.
It's coming out, like, they better not mess this, like,
they have so
multiverse
much.
Up. Is all I gotta say as far as, like, you have so many possibilities of awesome things you could do. Just don't try to do too much like Amazing Spider-Man did. Like, just...
Keep it in the pocket. Keep it in your pocket. Now...
Just do it and do it well.
Far From Home, early predictions. This has the chance... This has the highest ceiling of any Spider-Man where, like, literally this could be one of the greatest superhero films of all time. But it also has the lowest floor where it's like, this could completely fall on his face and it's going to be terrible.
Well, and I'll take that as far as, like, if you have a movie that's just epic and could be awesome, like, yeah, maybe it does suck. But I'll take you taking a big swing at things, especially when you're dealing with bringing in, like, the original Spider-Man villains, like the Doc Ock and stuff that we've seen. You don't want to just aim for a single on this and just be happy with that.
No, you're so hitting a home run.
Yeah, I'm like...
Or you're going to fall
straight. Go big or go home. So, like...
And I think they're doing that. It's kind of like... I think they're doing that.
People... I talked to a lot of people... I mean, again, jumping to different series. But Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Where I talked to people that hated Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
How is that even...
They didn't think it was at all like the first one.
Did they like the first one?
Yeah, they loved the first one. They hated the second one. I talked to multiple people that thought that. And the whole thing was that, like...
Can you name them? Can we cancel them? because that's ridiculous. How do you love the first one but hate the
second? But they were like, oh, it wasn't the same type of humor. It was it Joel? A lot over the top. No, it wasn't.
Was it Joel?
No.
He's never come back on the podcast again.
But the point of it was, is like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 went bigger. Everything was bigger than the first one. And some stuff...
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is one of my favorite sequels to any movie ever. Like... But I thought they kept it still, like, within their realm. Like, they didn't try to overblow it. That's just me, though.
I mean, I can see, like, there's some stuff that just didn't work out super well in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
But overall, they went with, like, hey, we're going to do kind of a lot of the same stuff we did in the first one, but we're doing everything bigger. We're going to have fun with this. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Overall, finished product, I'm happy with it.
Probably the soundtrack. The more I think about it, I'm like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, it's probably the soundtrack on both those movies that I love.
If you want to nitpick little parts of it, yeah, you can find little stuff in that. And so that's what it was kind of bringing me back. Now I'm trying to think how this all started.
Spider-Man.
But what part was I talking about?
It's Spidey-sember.
Oh, I was saying they need to go.
I thought I said Spidey-sember, like, I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back in Spidey-sember. They need to go big with this movie as far as if some things don't work out fine and there's, like, parts that you can really nitpick about the movie, that's fine. You don't need to nail everything perfectly, but you got to go big or go home. If you're, like, going to do.
I think they have to, because after Avengers. Like, after the Avengers stuff, like, oh, Spider-Man, like, is going to carry the franchise now for a little bit. They're like, they have to go big. And this might be the last one before Sony is like, hey, we're just going to make more Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
So I think they're going big, and I hope they cream that ball right outside the stadium. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. And I hope it's not a Rise of Skywalker situation where I watch it once. I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty great film, because they nostalgia me. And then I watched it again. I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah. That was one of those things. It's like when you're drinking the Kool-Aid and all of a sudden you're like, it's poison. As far as when I was watching it, you just like are kind of in the moment. You're enjoying it. And then even within days, like the more you think about it, the more like that was not good. Like I enjoyed it. And so like we did a podcast on it right afterwards. We're like,
listen to that podcast.
It wasn't that bad. We were
100% drinking the Kool-Aid.
We're like, it wasn't that bad. There were some cool parts. And then it's like, even as we're talking about it, I'm like, you know what? As we're even talking about this, I really don't ever want to watch this movie again because I feel like I'm going to like it a lot less.
You're like, you are 100% lucky because I watched it again and I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the hell did I drink that Kool-Aid? We're dressed up like Jedis. You were dressed up like Darth Vader. And we just bought into it.
Yeah. But, yeah, Spider-Man. I'm not. Back to Spidey-sember.
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 Copyrighted. Don't you try to fucking take that.
I think, yeah, this next movie could be good. But I would much rather have them fall flat than just be okay.
This movie, I really just hope, like, literally, like a Spider-Man 3, I hope it's a 7 out of 10. Like, literally. Like, I will be satisfied with it. Like, you're literally giving me Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, apparently, allegedly, I haven't seen them in the film, but like, you're taking all my nostalgia from all these movies that I grew up with and watched as an adult, and it's like, you're bringing them all back? Like, oh my God. Like, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, you give me all my Spider-Mans? Like, I really hope it's great. I really hope they know what they're doing. And as far as the MCU goes, I think so far they have proven that they can do that. And you should watch Shang-Chi, because that movie's also great.
Yeah, that's on my to-watch list.
Yeah, like, for some reason, the MCU, they've had a couple of hiccups. Dark World, Thor 2. We don't talk about that movie.
Yeah.
2 out of 10. But they've had some hiccups, but I feel like I trust what they're doing, and I think they're staying true to the characters, which is why they keep winning time after time after time. And, man, I just really hope Far From Home is amazing.
And, see, for me,
No Way Home, excuse me.
MCU right now is, like, just fighting a relevance battle, where it's, like, you're bringing up, like, you make a movie like Black Widow about a period in time that's like, you're like, oh, you remember like 3 movies ago, like this little period of time, we're gonna make a movie about that. Like, okay, well, you know, I watched it. Or now you bring it up, like, I always say it wrong, is it Shanghai and the Knights of the Round Table, or what is this?
Everything you said right there was wrong. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Okay,
I'm not gonna say it again.
I don't know anything about. I have I have no idea who this is. The Eternals, I have no idea who this is.
I haven't seen
the Eternals. And so, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I like Marvel movies. I've seen a lot of them. Am I probably going to watch these movies? But there is, like, zero, like, going in excitement about this, because, like, it's just off the wall. Like, I don't even know what it is.
This might be, like, unpopular opinion. If this movie sucks, like, if No Way Home sucks, I think it could ruin the, like, that might completely stop MCU from making more movies.
I don't think so, necessarily.
Like, because Spider-Man's a token character. Spider-Man is the greatest Marvel hero. We can agree with that. Eternals got mixed reviews. Shang-Chi I love, but I'm like, if this movie falls flat on its face and it is terrible, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. They still have some stuff set up that has some potential in the MCU. I think Guardians of the Galaxy, the third one, there's no way you're stopping that.
You're talking about Thor 3 or Thor 4, Love and Thunder?
No, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
But Guardians of the Galaxy are in Thor, Love and Thunder.
Maybe.
They are. They're in the poster.
Okay, well. Anyway.
Is this the same movie?
Maybe. I just thought, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was going to come out. I don't know. Anyway. My point is, Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy, as long as they're making movies about them, are probably going to get people to go to them because they've done a lot of good stuff.
Well, especially after Thor 3, Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Like, I mean, and Guardians of the Galaxy is like the perfect people to combine with Thor, mm-hmm. where I think, yeah, that has a lot of potential.
That's a great crossover. That was like beautifully set up after Endgame.
But I don't feel like, because even like DC right now, DC's still making movies. Even like, did you watch Wonder Woman 1984?
Don't have it yet. I have HBO Max.
It's... Oh, man.
Is that a Stay Tuned?
That might be a Stay Tuned, but I might need to
finish. Is it bad?
I was blown away with how bad the setup was. We'll just say that.
Oh, no.
Like...
I can't... Oh, no.
After 40 minutes...
Rank it for me right now. I gotta hear.
I only watched 40 minutes of it.
You stopped watching it?
I could not finish it.
Holy shit.
And nothing had happened. I was 40 minutes in. I was by myself. And I'm like, you know what? There's other movies that I could watch that I would enjoy a lot more than this. And I turned it off. And I'm not really proud of it because I wish I had seen it so I could actually rank it. But the beginning of that movie...
You had my HBO Max. And you literally... You had
so bad.
Oh, my no.
Just awful as far as...
And Wonder Woman, the first one was great.
Yeah. But anyway, we should end this podcast. Yeah, we should. Now we're rambling on.
Drew the Review signing off.